As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, the Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down. Come on down, oh fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh mothers, let's go down. Come on down, don't you wanna go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me.
This is a verse-by-verse study of the greatest book that was ever written. In order to understand this book, you need to be born again in the newness of life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If this has never happened to you, then you need to believe the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again on the third day. He was then seen by over 500 people. On behalf of our sponsor, who is the Creator of the universe, we welcome you and thank you for coming. Welcome to the Book of Heaven.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Well, hi, Jim.
Well, hello. How are you guys? I missed you last week.
Yeah, we missed you too. We managed to get by without you, but just barely.
Well, it was a profitable weekend. I'll be sharing some of it with you before we get started.
Okay. And how are your socks today?
You know, I have plenty.
That's good.
I have some colored ones. I have some black ones. I have some that are mixed colors. I've just become a sock fan. That's all.
Yeah, nice. I'm going to remember that for birthdays.
I just go from sock to sock.
You're a sucker for socks.
Yeah. Yeah. Let you borrow a pair if you promised a longer.
Oh, well.
Or bring them back.
I can make no promises.
Well, then you ain't not getting any of my socks.
All right, then.
But you can share blessing.
Amen.
That's different.
Well, we're blessed every day, aren't we?
Who do we have? Do we have everybody here today?
We do.
Anybody here I haven't met?
We have Matt and Hat. Hi, kids.
Yeah.
Howdy. Go. Shout out to Truth Patriot. We haven't seen him in a while. He's in the chat.
Good to see you, brother.
I'm just messing with him.
I was talking to him before the show. Hi, Kitty. Hey, Larry. Good to see you guys.
Well, good to see you all.
Yeah.
Hi, Miss DJ. How are you this afternoon, you know, depending upon where you are.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Good to see everyone here.
Good to see you. Hi, Cheryl. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Pete and Kelly, good to see you, kids.
Hi, guys.
You're out and about today, it looks like.
We are.
That impression?
Chilling in the rig. Well, thanks for joining us. And of course, and as always, our director slash brother slash fellow podcaster, Duncan. How's my brother doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, directing live. So I think I got it all set. Everybody's crop ready to go. Great to see you. Blessed to be here.
Awesome. Well, shall we start with the prayer?
Yes, that's always where we start.
And we want to
don't forget.
Right. And we would like to lift up a special person tonight. And that's Duncan's mother. And she's just been having a little trouble this last week. And we just want to lift her up. And Lord, we just, first and foremost, as always, we thank you for this time together to get into your word. I just ask and pray a blessing over Mama McGregor, that she just knees heal quickly. And that she just gets some clarity of mind and clarity of spirit, and just bring her your calm and your joy, Lord, because we love her and we just pray the best over her. She is your daughter and she loves you. Just pray relief and just joy right now for her. And just bless everyone here with us tonight and here in the chat and on the call with us. Just let this be a night full of great information, a little laughter, and a whole lot of you, Lord, in your word. In Jesus' name, we pray these things.
Amen. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you kindly.
Of course. We love Mama McGregor.
Yeah, some days are rougher than others, man. I love her to death. I just, you know, we're limited here, but God's not.
Amen. He's not. He is the ultimate position.
Yeah,
sure. You're a good son, and just appreciate you caring for her the way that you do, and we love her muchly.
I love her like Jesus loves us.
Wow, that's big.
But we can do that by faith. We might in our human side not be that capacity, but by faith we can love like God loves.
Mm. Amen. So you have something special in store for us?
Well, I was just going to, as soon as I'm sure we're done with the formalities of getting.
The pleasantries of the beginning of the show.
Yes, I would want to tell you this. You know, in my lifetime, I'm 97 years old, and I've been an active member of church for probably 60, let's see, 97 minus 20, about 77 years. When I went in the Navy, I fell out of the Christian life. And when I went to college, I fell further out of the Christian life. And then for about 10 or 15 years, I was out of the Christian life. I was born to Christian parents who were beautiful people. And I started my life out in the back pew of the Waco Methodist Church every Wednesday night when Mom and Dad went to choir practice, and I'd go to sleep in church and wake up at home. I was a big kid before I figured it out, and how you can go to sleep in church and wake up at home.
Sounds like someone had to carry a load at some point.
But anyhow, what I'm leading up to after 60 or 70 years of being in church, and those are good church experiences with good church people. Been lots of evangelistic training programs. Last weekend I went to what was definitely the best evangelistic program I've ever attended.
Wow!
With two very gifted people. Their name was Jeff and Anna Musgrave. The name of their ministry is The Exchange. The idea of the exchange is that you exchange your sins for Christ's righteousness.
Mm.
He takes your sins, you get his righteousness. That's exchange. And for this group, and I want to put this out, I'll put this out right now. Remember or write down the words exchange message. And you'll find a app under that name, Exchange Message.
Mm.
And in this app, they tell you everything about what they're doing and what they can help you do. And it's really a relational program in that their best success in introducing people to Christ has been to establish a relationship first. And so this is something where when it comes to religious talk, you're involved with people you know. And we spent half of the seminar talking, learning about how to establish relationships. They had one section on listening that was really good for me because I'm a talker and I need to learn to listen.
Mm.
And they spent a couple hours talking to us about listening. Anyhow, I would urge every one of you to go get that app, take a look. And I want you to pray this prayer when you leave. I want you to pray that just once before you die, God will provide you with a person that you can share, that you can lead to the Lord.
Mm.
Just one. Just ask for one. You realize you might die anytime, so that might motivate you to do more than one.
Right.
But just pray that he'd give you one. And then everything you need to know about what I learned over the weekend is in that app. These people are very, very, everything is really well done, very smooth. I don't want to oversell something, but these are a couple of really fine evangelists, and they're equipping a lot of people. I presume you know that an evangelist is one who equips others. We tend to think of evangelist as somebody who goes out here on the street and introduces a couple people to Christ. And that's not what an evangelist does, according to Scripture. Ephesians, remember we learned in Ephesians chapter 4 that the evangelist is one of the gifts that equips the Christians for the work of the fellowship, work of the ministry. And so these two people I'm talking about really epitomize in every way an equipper. And so they'll really teach you how to do this. Anyhow, that's what I wanted to mention to you guys before we start the book of Philippians. And I was going to play their theme song, which gripped me. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning singing it. But and we're saving it for next time.
Yeah, I forgot. I was supposed to get that information.
Oh, no. You don't need to take any responsibility for that. I should have reminded you. And it can wait. It'll be just as good a song next week as it is next.
All right. Well, I apologize.
That's all right.
That was my bad.
Not a problem. Not a problem. And so with that in mind, it's time for us to start the epistle of Philippians. Is there anything else you wanted to say in prayer before we start?
No. Does anybody have any prayer needs, requests, anything of that nature before we jump into Philip
and onions? let me explain that real quick. I literally came across this video today, and this woman had the best heart. She knew the verses, she knew what she was talking about, but she goes, "You can find it in the Philip and onions." And I'm like, "Philip and onions? I don't think I've read that book." And then I figured out she was talking about Philippians.
Philip and onions.
Well, I always start, you know. I have my own thing, my own way of doing this. I always start out with an introduction. And in this introduction, I'm going to talk about the theme.
Oh.
The human author.
There is one thing. Can I cut you off real quick?
Sure, you bet.
We have a page on, I keep wanting to say.
Telegram.
Telegram, thank you. And it's under the same name, Book of Heaven. And anyway, there's study materials there. So if you would like to study along, get the study materials, there's some questions and things you can answer there. Kind of gets you prepped for the reading. Anyway, those materials will be found on that page. And it's the Book of Heaven on Instagram. Not Instagram.
You'll find a question I call them observation questions. You find a question for almost every verse in the book.
It's not Instagram, it's Telegram.
It's Telegram. Instagram doesn't work. Anyhow, those questions are not complicated, and they're not designed to be complicated. They're designed to get you to read the scripture to read it rather than read it. You know, there's a difference between reading and the reading and studying. Mm. And that's what those questions are about. And although we don't grade those papers and we don't want you to send them to us, we will discuss those questions before we will go chapter by chapter, and we'll discuss those questions before we do that chapter. So those for those of you who want to compare your answers with the ones that we will furnish, that'll happen. As long as you're listening, we'll get to that.
Right.
And by the way, I found from other classes and other people, those questions are very fruitful, and they sometimes lead to some very interesting rabbit trails.
Mm, we do love our rabbit trails.
And when we do a rabbit trail, and we answer all questions when they're asked, when we do the rabbit trail, we follow it to the end, and then we double back and get back on the main line and continue. We study this book on the basis of time. We just go until we come to the end of the time, and then we make a mark, and we stop, and when we start the next time, we start where we left off. And that's how we get through these books.
And luckily for you all, Jim keeps track of that.
Yeah, I do.
Unlike me.
Yeah, well, I have a pretty good little notebook.
Well, after 50 years, I imagine you've got a system.
Well, this system here works the best of anything I've ever that works. No, systems are some way in studying are to some degree related to the personality of the teacher and to the personality of the listeners. And this seems to do that pretty well. And I have prepared materials for about a half of the Bible, and I'm working on the other half.
You hear that, folks? 50 years and only half the Bible.
Well, I only... Well, that's right. Well, the first 50 was in preparation for doing what I'm doing now.
Mm.
There's some things that I did that are important to me, and I think you might want to make them important to you. One of the things I really urge you to do. Is that me?
It's probably you.
Where's my phone?
It's over on the table.
Sorry for the interruption, folks. Just turn it off. That's what voicemail is about, is to take care of this.
Robert Alexander.
Anyhow, what I was going to suggest you do is write the Bible. The instruction in Deuteronomy, the instructions to the Old Testament kings is when they came to power. They were to write the Bible as it was in that day. Just start at the beginning and just write it. Don't do very much. Do one or two or three verses at a time. Because if you decide to do a big bite every time, then you'll fail eventually. You don't want to fail your pattern. Just everybody can find time in a day to write two or three verses. And just write them word for word as they appear in your Bible. And I never even saved the paper. I just threw the paper away. I just wanted to take the words into my mind and out through my fingers. You know, that's one way to learn. And start anywhere you want. If you were to ask me where to start, I'd say start with the book of Romans. Now, having said that, we're ready to talk about Philippians.
Or Philip and Onions.
Philip and Onions.
On his second missionary journey, Paul visited Philippi. Though through his ministry there, several people trusted Christ as their Savior. Some of these were Lydia and her family, and the Philippian jailer and his family. Now, anybody want to tell me about Lydia?
She sold the purple cloth.
She was the seller of purple. Yeah, that's a pretty important thing in those days. And where did he meet her? You remember, Kitty?
I don't know. I forgot.
Well, turn and read to us. Start reading in Acts 16.
Okay.
We're going to read 14 through 34. We're going to read 20 verses.
Acts 16, 14 through 34. I thought we were studying Philippians.
This is all part of it.
It's an introduction here, right?
This is called background material. You can call it anything you want. One of the things that's the beauty about the Bible is that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
So Philippians actually starts in the book of Acts. Who would have known that?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So it says here, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they sought Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust out us privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed.
Okay, thank you very much. Isn't that a great story? And now he's got two people saved, Lydia and the jailer, and so he has the beginning of a church. He has the two people to make a church.
There you go.
Two or more gathered in my name.
Need two.
And by the way, it was interesting, if you look back there to where she got saved, it says, whose heart the Lord had opened. You, in your evangelistic work, you are only the proclaimer. You're not, you can throw away the word soul winner. No human soul winner. God is the soul winner.
Right.
The Holy Spirit does the soul winning.
We're just a seed spreader.
We're the proclaimers. We proclaim the truth in this case. We proclaim the gospel. People believe it and they're saved. And the belief is brought on by God. Okay. Now, the Philippian jailer, of course, he tells you one of the ways to get saved. When the Jehovah's Witness come to my house, when I'm feeling like, sometimes I just close the door. But when I have lots of energy, I say, oh, I'm so glad you came by. I've just been studying and I would like to know how to be saved. And so they spend 5 minutes telling me why I ought to be worthy. And then I said, well, this doesn't sound like that story I read in the Bible about this guy that said, what do I do to get saved? And they said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they all run away.
Yeah? None of them ever stick around?
No, they leave.
Well, that's too bad.
It is too bad. Because they might get saved if they stuck around. Anyhow. Okay. Anyhow. Soon after, the other thing I wanted to point out to you, she was down at the river. Isn't that what it says? She was down at the river. We missed that verse. Verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had resorted thither. I think she was there for a prayer meeting. But I would rather think that she was in the laundromat. Because they washed the clothes in the river. And I have to tell you that if you want to do some evangelistic work, just go to the local laundromat.
You know, that's true. And I've met people at the laundromat.
Oh yeah. You can build relationships. And now we're back to Jeff and Anna. They say you build a relationship, then you share the gospel with them. First you build a relationship. Okay. Now, I like to think she was at the laundromat. I don't know if she was. However, if you're really serious about building a relationship with somebody, go and park yourself at the local ICU at the hospital. Mm. Always have an ICU waiting room that's separate.
Mm.
You go in there, sit down, and you read your Bible. And the first thing you know, you'll be building a spiritual relationship with
you. You know, and you and I had talked about this a little bit, but, going to the old folks home or which I do every Monday. That was a joke. No one got it.
I just got it.
You know, you're river.
But going to the old folks home or the end of life places and just spending some time with folks. And you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. I may start doing it, but imagine all the great stories you'd hear, and you also get the opportunity to give someone some company and attention, and talk about Jesus.
Makes me think of the book of James. What is it? Religion in its purest form is to visit the, you know. I can't remember. Jim knows it, but he knows what I'm talking about.
Visit the widows and orphans in their misery.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, anyhow, soon after Paul's visit, a local church was established at Philippi. The church helped the apostle in different ways, so that this epistle was written to acknowledge their help as well as to help them. And we'll see these things as we go through it. Philippians is personal and practical in its tone and teaching. Paul emphasized the need for believers to rejoice in Christ. This is, by the way, called the Book of Joy by many. The word cherub means joy. It's used four times. I'm not going to give you all the references. Rejoice, that's a word that's chero. It occurs eight times. Glad occurs three times. There's a word glad. There's a word boast or glory. The same word for glad is the same word for boast and glory. It's the word, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I got a book. It says kachima, means glad, boast, or glory. Anyhow, that doesn't. And these things, anyhow, Paul wrote frequently in this epistle about the kind of, about the mind of a child of God. One's manner of life is truly a reflection of what occupies his mind. Now, here's the theme of the epistle. Though many exhortations and challenges are given, one major theme or emphasis pervades the book. All the teachings are expressions or ramifications of this one central truth. This theme is living the Christian life. The human author, most scholars agree, the Apostle Paul wrote the book. Clearly, the work purports to come from him. Reference to Timothy is also significant, since he was with the apostle when Philippi was evangelized. Also, the information the writer gave about himself harmonizes perfectly with Paul's life. In addition, the writings of the early church fathers attest to Pauline authorship. Then, in other words, there's no controversy about who wrote this book. The date of the epistle? Paul was in bondage when he wrote Philippians. But all do not agree which imprisonment he was experiencing when he wrote the book. Most believe he was in Rome at the time. Some suggest he was in Caesarea, and a few argue for Ephesians. I personally think he was in a Roman prison. And I think I've visited it. You know, when you go to Rome, you can visit the prison cell where he was a captive. Mm. And by the way, that cell was built like a jug, and they dropped him in through the top. Mm. And it had a little door on the side where they hauled him out when they died. Mm. And today, when you visit it, one wall has been torn down. They put in a stair so you could go down. Mm. Maybe it was my imagination, but I would have swore I could still smell the urine in that place.
Yeah. Gross.
Yeah.
Do you think it was Paul's urine?
I think it was. It was. I'm willing to believe that.
That's some mighty powerful urine.
Well, that was a long time ago, but after all these epistles, it lasted for 2,000 years.
Well, they didn't call them epistles for nothing.
That's right. You know, if we keep this up, we'll be off there.
I think we just had 50 people leave the chat.
Okay, the scriptures give no clear indication of any imprisonment in Ephesus. As for Caesarea, Paul was confined there for 2 years, but imminent martyrdom is not suggested in the account which describes his confinement. His reference to the palace guard, as well as his concerns with facing possible death, argue for Rome. You know, if he was in this prison in Rome at the time he wrote this letter, he was chained to a member of the Praetorian Guard, and he had a different guard every 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And as a result, and he says, and he mentions this, as a result, the gospel makes its way into the palace. Because you couldn't be chained to Apostle Paul for 24 hours and not hear the gospel. So these guards were being saved. They were going back to Caesar's palace and converting and proclaiming to others. Okay, when the Philippian believers heard about Paul's imprisonment in Rome, they sent Epaphroditus, who may have been their pastor, to minister to him. Epaphroditus personally comforted Paul, expressing to him the affection of the saints in Philippi. And he brought Paul a financial contribution from them so that his confinement would be more comfortable. Three times before, twice when Paul was at Thessalonica, and once when he was at Corinth, the saints ministered to his needs. The book of Philippians might be called a thank you note to saints in Philippi for their generous gifts. While Epaphroditus was in Rome, he became so ill he almost died. After he recovered, he took Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians. Philippi was a Roman colony. After the Battle of Philippi in 42 BC, some Roman soldiers were ordered by Antony to live there. Then in 30 BC, Octavian forced some people in Italy to give up their homes and settle in Philippi and elsewhere. These Philippi residents were given special privileges, including the Italic Right. This meant that the colonists, in return for their displacement, were treated as if their land were part of Italian soil. So the residents were citizens of Rome, their mother city, and enjoyed the full rights of Roman citizenship, including exemption from taxes. So Paul's words, conduct yourself, and our citizenship is in heaven, had special meaning to the Christians of Philippi. And by the way, you remember that Paul was a Roman citizen.
Mm.
And in this account in Acts we just read, he pulled rank. He reminded those people that beat up on him. He reminded them that he was a Roman citizen.
Mm.
And they could have been severely punished for beating Roman citizens.
Mm. Now, how many times was he incarcerated?
Twice.
Twice.
Well, they think he was. Judging by the Pauline epistles, we really only have a record of him being imprisoned once. But the tradition and history says he was imprisoned.
Okay.
But we want to be careful and not say that's entirely scriptural, because that second imprisonment is not entirely scriptural.
Mm. Gotcha. You know, I just kind of can draw some parallel lines with the times that we're in now with Christians and people doing prison time for believing in and standing up for what is right and good. So, you know, you're doing something right if you get thrown in prison, make it count.
Oh, yes, absolutely. This whole book was pretty much written by people that were in jail.
What does that say about us who ain't in jail?
It means you ain't working hard enough, son. Get out there. Spread the word. I haven't been in prison yet either, so, you know.
Well, I don't think you're going to prison, because this is United States America, and so far we haven't put anybody in prison for this, but we did have some people that are political prisoners.
Well, actually, there was a gentleman who was preaching on the steps of the house on January 6th who was imprisoned.
Yeah, Coy Griffin.
Coy Griffin. Yeah. I met him. He's an awesome dude. But anyway, he was thrown in, and he didn't go inside the building. He just stood out front and preached the word.
Good. Did he get habeas corpus when he was in prison? You know, those guys that were in that deal that was involved that, where they're trying to hang it on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
See, they were thrown in prison, denied habeas corpus.
Yes.
That's really wicked.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe he was. He has been released.
Oh, he John the Baptist, everybody. He utilized that time in jail and was tearing pages out of his Bible and handing it over to the shaman next to him to read scripture.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Good for him.
Yeah. No, he was on fire for God. And that's, you know, and that's a great example, as is, you know, obviously Paul. Make it count. It doesn't matter where you are.
Okay, the next thing we do is read chapter 1. And it's 30 verses, and we have a reader, so let's all get our Bibles so we can follow along with her.
And I am reading the King James Version.
Yes,
for all of you who are wondering.
That's our study Bible.
That's our go-to, just so you all know.
We had a long talk about this when we first started.
We did, but we have a lot of new folks. So King James is the Bible of choice for us. I know in some places it's controversial and all that, but we have found that it is sound and it is good. And
well, the English language was in the best shape to receive the translation, much better than the English language is today. And then that's one of the, there's a number of things you could say to make the King James Bible make the case. And I think that's the first one, is that the English language was in better shape to receive it. And I'll give you an example of that. The old ye's and thee's, those are, the ye's and thee's are plural and singular. You know, they're replaced by the word you. We only know whether the you is plural or singular by the context. That doesn't always help. When the King James Bible speaks to a group of people, it speaks to ye. When it speaks to one person, it speaks to thee. And so you, as a student, you don't have to have that for devotional reading, but as a student, these little things are helpful. I'll give you an example, really good example is, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is called a rabbit trail, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll tell you which verse in just a minute.
I think we call it a jackrabbit trail.
Jackrabbit trail. No, Jim tries to lasso those things.
Okay.
Are you getting onto your wife? Is she driving? Who was that? Wasn't that Kelly or Peter that said that? Oh, I thought you said something about her jackrabbiting.
No.
No, that's
my bad. Never mind.
Rabbit holes, it's
jackrabbit holes. Well, if someone, let's have her read 1 Corinthians 12:31. I want to see if it has a ye in it.
Okay.
You think it does?
It should have a ye in it.
It shouldn't?
Should.
Should. You think
in it does? 12:31?
Yep, 12:31.
How about 12:27?
Well, that's because a good
12:31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. But if I go back to 12:27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Okay, so this demonstrates what I'm talking about. The ye is plural. And since he's speaking to the body of Christ and the members, that's plural, it should be a ye. Now, if you're doing this translation today, you would just say, now you are the body of Christ. And we'd have to discern the plurality. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just telling you that it enables you to be more precise in your thoughts. It's part of the case for the King James. Another case for the King James is that they translated every Greek word. Most of the new translations do not translate every word. They translated every Greek word, and when they added a word to make a better sense of it, they italicized that word. So you know every word that was added. That's part of the case. I could go on with some more. I remember I told him a story about the Spanish Armada. You want to do that one over? You remember the Spanish Armada?
I like that story.
Let's
do, you want to do that over again?
I think that's a God thing, the story about, which you can tell. You see,
in 1580, they started the translation of this Bible. They organized six groups of eight or eight groups of six. I don't remember. There were 48 total. And every man translated the Bible. They synthesized it into one copy. Then that left them with eight copies. They then synthesized that. And they ended up with a Bible that all 48 of them could agree on. Okay. While they were in this process, there was a lot of interest in it. The newspapers of the time followed it. And that was in 1580 that they started the translation. In 1588, the Pope was very unhappy with the King of England because the King of England had taken the church out under the control of the Pope, who at the time controlled the world, by the way. And so the Pope organized the Spanish Armada to go punish that English king and bring England back under the auspices of the Roman Catholic Church. They called that the Spanish Armada. The Spanish Armada, had it arrived in England, it would have, you can bet your boots, they would have stopped the translation of this Bible. Because the Catholic Church did not believe in the individuals having a copy of the Bible. What happened to the Spanish Armada? Does anybody know?
I don't know. What happened to the Spanish
Armada? Wasn't there bad storms and things that came up that kept them from getting there?
Matt's right on. A great big wind came up and blew all those ships into the North Sea where they sank. And that was,
that's pretty, I don't think that's coincidence. I really don't.
I don't either. That's God at work. And whoopsie. So the translation went on and the plowboys got a Bible. And that was Wycliffe, who was behind a lot of way back behind this. He wanted every plowboy to have a Bible. Yeah. And so it was. And so they do have it. And so we still have it today. And it's the one we use. And we're not throwing rocks at the other translations. We're simply saying that this is the best of the study Bibles.
And there's fairly good evidence proving that God was behind it, behind the writing of this particular version.
And by the way, it's 400 years old, and it's been kicked around with everything Satan could do to it. And so all the flaws in it have been discovered and corrected. And so that's also another part of the case for the King James Bible. Anyhow, it starts out by saying Paul and Timotheus. I'm going to do a little bit of reading. I'm going to throw it back to Kitty. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Okay, that's the scripture. Now the comment. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we haven't done the questions.
Uh-huh. Don't we read it first and then do the questions?
We read it, without comments first. Then we do the questions. Do we want to read it as a group, or do we just want Kitty to read it?
No, we'll have Kitty read it to us, and we'll read it. We'll read along with it.
Okay, Kitty, your turn.
All right. I'm going to read this first chapter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Amen.
Amen.
That was good.
Yes. Having Miss Kitty read is a good choice.
Is that a good idea? Okay. Yeah, I like her. Listen to her.
You have no idea how ununderstandable I would have made that reading it.
Well, thank you.
Now, Jay Wu can summarize it.
She's getting better all the time. Well, I'm looking at some of these questions. So if you guys will look at, if you don't have these, if you haven't downloaded these questions, if you'll just look at your scripture, look at verse one. I'm going to ask a question about verse one, and then someone will pipe up an answer.
Timotheus.
To whom is this letter written? Verse one. Okay, who's going to answer that?
People of Philippi.
Okay, to all the saints at Philippi. What else? With?
Especially to the bishops and deacons.
Yeah. So he's right. He gives us a little glimpse of how their church is organized. Bishops is also could also be called elders. So they got elders and deacons. They got this must be a fairly good sized church by now. Okay, overseers. Number one. And what is another name for bishops?
An overseer.
Good. Anything else? Okay, Miss Kitty, would you read 1 Peter 5:1?
Mm-hmm. And it, 1 Peter 5:1.
I know you have to jump around a little bit to stay with this one.
Yeah.
And it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
You know that I think the Greek word for the elders is like Presbyterian. and another name for him is Episcopos. That's kind of like Episcopal.
What's your language?
So I'm going to, for my answer for this question, I'm going to say elders, but I'm not going to, I would give full credit for the other answer that we had.
Episcopos?
No, he gave us overseer. An And that's a good, that's another very good word that comes from those words I was talking about. Okay, now that we're ready for the third question, this is verse 2. Why does Paul put grace ahead of peace in the solution? I mean, in the salutation. Why does Paul put grace ahead of peace in the salutation? Verse 2.
Now, just so you all know, I'm watching chat. So if you can get ahead of someone here on the call, you're welcome to.
Because you have to give grace to achieve peace.
What was that?
Said you have to give grace to achieve peace.
That's what I would have said. Miss Kitty, read Romans 5:1, please.
Romans 5:1.
It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Justification comes from what?
Faith.
It comes from.
It's by grace.
By grace through faith. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:8.
Yeah.
I'm here to get the answers wrong, so everybody else.
No, you're, well, you're failing. You're getting a couple right. Okay. Now, verse 3 says, what does he thank? What does he thank God for? Verse 3.
Remembrance of you, of them.
Yeah, remembrance of the Philippians.
Just thinking of them.
By the way, you know, these three little verses, read 3, 4, and 5 together.
I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
You know, that would be a really nice thing to put in a thank you card to someone, one of your brothers or sisters.
You know, what's interesting is that relates a lot to our current families that we've been constructing as of late. In that, you know, not that we have an apostle looking after us, but that fellowship and kind of what he's talking about and his enjoyment of these people at this church, because they spent time with each other,
sure,
in God's presence studying his word.
Well, if you will live your lives according to the writings of the apostle Paul, you'll have an apostle looking after you. Another way to think about it. Okay, well, he thanks God for remembrance. How often and when did Paul remember them? Verse 4.
Always in every prayer.
Yeah, whenever he prayed, he remembered them. That happens with us too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Look, this is a very practical book. There, you can see your life, and you can see the life of your fellow brothers and sisters in this book.
Amen.
What does he remember about them? Verses 3-5.
Their fellowship in the gospel.
That's part of it.
And the prayers that he says for them, remembering them in prayer.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
And being confident.
Remember, I gave you 3-5.
Oh, 3-5. And their fellowship in the gospel.
And?
From the first day until now.
Something else.
Joy.
You, by the way, you've been right all along, but you're not done. That's all I'm saying.
Did Pete nail it with joy? Because I ran it 3-5.
Where does it say they work together?
Joy and partnership.
Right. They work together in God's work. That's the other one. So you got them all. They prayed, remembered. He remembered the fellowship. He remembered working together. They were partners in God's work. Okay, number 7. This is verse 6. What was he confident of?
That when God began a good work, he'll perform it until.
Yes, God will finish the work. We need to turn to Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10, if you read them, please. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10.
Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10.
We just studied this a while back. We're going to look at it again.
No, I feel bad that I don't have it memorized.
I know.
I'm getting ready to call you out on that.
That can all happen. You don't have to, you know, remember line on line, precept on precept.
You know what I'm thinking is, you talked about, you know, writing the Bible. It wouldn't hurt to write the particular book that we're in.
No, it wouldn't at all. That might be a place to start.
Yeah.
Might help me get some of these answers right.
Yeah. Okay.
I had some of this memorized, but yeah, not all of it. And I need to work on it myself. So it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Those verses are well known and well memorized. But for some reason, people stop here and don't go on to 10.
Right. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Now read them all together without an interruption.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
By grace to works. Mm-hmm. Now we have this constant discussion going on about works versus grace. It's by grace to works. It's not by works to grace.
Right.
So just remember those prepositions and you'll be fine. By grace.
The grace to works. And aren't we also compelled to do those works because of our faith?
That's exactly what he says. And if you're a person who is saved and the works aren't there, you better go back and review what's going on. And
what I find is, once you're saved by grace, you feel like you can't do enough works.
Well, that could be. I think that's because you have the gift of service, but we'll get to that sometime later. But anyhow, that happens. Mm. That happens a lot.
I think, I don't remember the scripture, but I remember it talks about us being fruitful, that we produce fruit, but that he, takes the fruit or cuts the fruit, and then we produce more fruit or something like that. I forget.
Well, I think you're thinking of maybe the 15th chapter of John, but I'm not sure.
I forget. I just kind of got the message, but not the verse.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Matt.
Sorry, I'm slacking.
Okay, now here's the next question. That is, in a few simple words, say what Paul is saying in verse 7. What is Paul saying in verse 7 in a few simple words?
That he's holding them all in his heart.
Good, I like that.
But because of that, they share in God's grace.
Yes. You guys are doing good. Listen, by the way, remember when you see a few simple words, it means that you can't be wrong. Although you may not be right.
Well, I was tempted to just read the whole verse.
Well, some people do. Read it.
Okay. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace.
Yeah. You know, it's really easy to see that he's talking about the grace of God, furthering the gospel, but we're all wrapped up together. Mm-hmm. We're all together doing this together.
Right.
We're not working. You're not a separate unit, and I'm not a separate unit.
No, we're all part of the body.
Yeah, and you need to be a little careful about going off your being working unilaterally, because you're part of the body. And even the Apostle Paul, and we think of him going on these missionary journeys and everything, he was sent by the local church. He was sent by the local church in Antioch.
Hmm.
He didn't go just start going out. He became a part of a local church, plugged in there, taught there, established there, and they sent him. So we want to be sent, and he took somebody with him. He didn't go by himself.
Can you explain when it says even as it is meet?
Meet means right. All right.
I was also going to ask about that. Would you say that this is a way of saying because we agree that we are in Christ together, in under his grace together, would that meet be kind of also thinking of coming together in agreement?
I think the meet there means right. I don't think it means
okay. Something.
Well, I mean that. The meet.
Yeah.
Meet was 16th century right.
Right. Okay.
We had a question from chat. What was the, what is verse 8? How would you translate that?
What's the question again?
Will you explain verse 8 more? I know we're just getting to it, but when you get there.
Sure. Oh, bowels mean tender feelings.
Ah, okay. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, gosh. Well, think about how real that is. You know, we don't know today how to describe feelings. That's one of the weaknesses in our language and in our the culture doesn't teach you how to describe your emotions. And this, your bowels, if you have tender feelings for somebody, haven't you ever had your stomach roll?
Talk about butterflies in our stomach, right?
Yes,
that kind of thing, right?
Thank you, Kitty.
We all know that tender feelings and bubble gut.
Was that helpful? Did I answer their question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, and by the way, that's the very next question. 9, what does Paul yearn for? Verse 8.
Relief in his bowels.
Yeah. This is not a request.
Oh, gosh. You're going to make me get really red laughing.
Not a request for Pepto-Bismol.
Isn't he saying that he longs for everybody to desire Christ, right? Isn't that kind of what he's saying?
Yes, that's right. He wants everyone to yearn for Christ. And he yearns for the Philippians with the tender feelings of Christ. That would be a modern way of translating it.
Okay.
Now verse 9 through 11 are a prayer. So verse 9 through 11 are a prayer. Who is Paul praying for?
Well, all the saints, all the believers, but especially those in Philippi who he's talking to here in this letter.
Go to the head of the class. That's the right answer. He's praying for the Philippian believers. And by the way, you guys are doing pretty good with these questions. You know that. Number 11.
Reflection on our teacher.
Thank you. List the things Paul asked for then. I count 4, by the way.
Mm.
List, when you see one of my questions says list, it means list. It means make up a list. So there are 4 things. I see 4. You may see. List the things Paul asked for them.
Their love.
And how does he want their love? What's the qualification of his love?
The abounding love.
Yes. That's one.
knowledge and judgment.
That's two. That makes five.
He uses the word sincere without offense. In other words, following Christ, right? He's asking that they stay true to faith.
Right. Sincere and inoffensive.
Sound judgment.
What kind of? I put down approve the excellent things.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
That would be close.
And the fruits of righteousness, wouldn't that be, in a sense, good absolutely. Works, right? Those good works?
That's another one. You got them all. Unless you found some more that I didn't see. Love may abound in knowledge and judgment, approve the excellent things, be sincere and inoffensive, filled with the fruits of righteousness. Listen, this is what Paul is asking for you. This isn't some remote deal. He's saying, I pray that Kitty, that the love may abound in knowledge and judgment, that Matt may approve the excellent things, that they be sincere and inoffensive. They're filled with the fruits of righteousness. This is for you.
Yeah, I need this prayer today. I was messing up a little.
Yeah. You can, and by the way, when you pray today, what would be appropriate would be say, thank you, Lord, that I have love that abounds in knowledge and judgment, because the Apostle Paul asked for it, and I know you'd answer his prayer.
How do we approve the things that are excellent?
That means that you don't get involved mentally in bad stuff. You approve good stuff. Turn to Philippians 4:8 and read us that one.
Ooh, skipping ahead.
I don't very often do this, but this is
a little preview.
I'm going to make an exception. Turn to Philippians 4:8 and read that.
And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Those are the things that I would approve as excellent. Those would be the excellent things that I... And by the way, you guys should memorize that verse, memorize those eight things, and that they should be in your frontal lobe and screening out the stuff that's coming into your mind.
Yeah.
This is something that allows you to enjoy some of the things in our world. If they meet the standard, God has approved them. And you hear people that condemn, they condemn the television. Well, they probably should, but there's times where something on the television may meet that standard of one of those eight things. Well, then it would be appropriate to think on it. Okay? And, but by the same token, if it didn't meet any of those eight things, you better get it out of your head as fast as you can. So that's what it's the excellent things is about. Good question. You guys are doing great. Now, number 12. Things happened to Paul that brought a certain result. What was the result in verses 12 through 14?
I'm sorry, read that question again.
Things happened to Paul that brought a certain result. What was that result? And the reference is verses 12 through 14.
Well, he is in bonds, and by being in those bonds, it allowed others to be more bold to speak out about Christ.
And that resulted in, you're on the right track, that resulted okay. in.
Being bold spreading and the gospel. Speaking without fear, sorry.
Mm-hmm. What somebody started, Kitty, you can be first.
I just said it was it spreading the gospel.
Right, that was the result. Spreading the gospel. And he tells why, what is happening that's making that happen. And then, of course, he had the other brothers who'd been emboldened by his example. Somebody already brought that up. Now, Matt, it's your turn. You had something on.
Oh, no, I was just in agreeance with what she was saying.
He was bringing up the bold to speak the word without.
Okay. And everyone knows that he's in jail because of his loyalty to Christ. Now, there are several motives listed. Oh, here's another list. There are several motives listed here for preaching the gospel. What are they? Verses 15 through 17.
Envy and rivalry.
Very good. And is there another motive in those verses?
Goodwill.
Goodwill, right on. That's what I had written down here. Okay. So there were two groups of people out there. One group was preaching the gospel out of selfishness, and one group was preaching it to hurt him. And one group was preaching the gospel out of goodwill, okay? Which leads us to the next.
What would that look like to preach the gospel out of selfishness?
Well, that would look like the guy on television whose wife has the big fluffy hair.
Would that be like?
Would that be like doing it more for yourself or self gain than actually doing it for the furthering of the gospel and the kingdom? Mm-hmm.
And it'd be the guy who does it for money.
Okay. Like, think about like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker or Joel Osteen.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I was just, you know, make sure.
We're confirming it for you.
I need a private jet to be able to preach.
Well, you could be, there could be many unknown people using the gospel for their own selfish reasons. It's not always the big people in television that do it for money. Now, listen. Don't get the wrong idea. Paul, in one of his other epistles, says that it is right for those who preach the gospel to live by the gospel. But I'm not talking, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about people who are greedy, who more than live by the gospel. And no, it is right that we pay our preachers.
Right.
And they can have a private jet as long as they're flying people back and forth who need to be out there preaching the word or being rescued, you know.
Well, yeah, I could have. I always wanted to have the Learjet ministry, but I was never able to pull out the money. Mm. And in the Learjet ministry, I was going around the country, pick up people and bring them in Sunday school.
There you go.
Oh, that's nice too.
You should paint it yellow like a bus.
Would that be the short bus?
No, seriously, I thought about
it. I take the short bus. That's not funny.
Okay. Anyhow, now that leads us to the next question, which is in verse 18 and 19. What does he rejoice in?
The salvation supplied by the Holy Spirit, right? Through Jesus Christ.
Listen, the message is bigger than the messenger.
Truth in Christ.
This should give you guys courage to spread the gospel. It's bigger than you are. It's bigger than you are. The message is bigger than the messenger. Paul, Jesus said to the Apostle Paul when he met him on the road to Damascus, he said, "Why do you persecute me?" And he wasn't persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting his follower. Mm-hmm. The message is bigger. It's this whole thing is bigger than you and me. And I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be no future for me if it wasn't.
We're down to 12 minutes, just so you know.
We're down to 12 minutes. Well, what day is this? Well, okay. Let me see how many of my questions we have. We can always quit right here.
Well, we're down to 12 minutes.
Okay. We'll do a couple more questions. We'll have some questions for next time.
We just need to save a few for an ending.
Well, we'll have some more next time. What does he mean? This is verse 15, and this is question 15, and it involves verse 19. What does he mean when he speaks of his salvation in verse 19? This is kind of an interesting little question.
I'm sorry, read the question again.
What does he mean when he speaks of his salvation in verse 19? You might want to read verse 19.
I am reading verse 19. He's like recharging in the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Read it carefully, out loud.
For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the spirit of Jesus Christ.
Now, do you think he was just getting saved? You think he's talking about his justification?
No. It's his strength he's receiving from the prayers.
Yeah. He's talking about the day he gets out of prison.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's helping him get through his days in prison are the prayers that are being raised for him.
Right. Right. You're right on.
Spirit of Christ within him.
You got that. A lot of people fall into the trap of thinking it's his justification. And it's not. Okay, verse 20. What is his earnest expectation and hope? Verse 20.
That he not be ashamed.
That he's got something he wants exalted in his body.
Who Christ. Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death.
Yeah. That's exactly the right answer. And I'm going to quit with this last one. Verse 21. What was Paul's purpose in life?
To live in Christ.
Verse 21. Does it say live or does it say, in other words?
Well, to live in Christ and to die is gain.
That's verse 20.
That's verse 21.
That's 21.
Well, then I made a mistake. What's 22?
Yeah.
But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. I want not.
Okay. Well, I have to, this isn't the right question. I said, what was Paul's purpose in life? I said, to glorify Christ. Mm. That's obviously the right answer, but it's not buried in verse 21.
I think it is. For me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
And I think it is gain.
I think it kind of goes on down there a couple verses together explaining it, basically to whether he's living, he's serving Christ. Glorifying Christ, bringing glory to God's name. And then if he dies, he even in his death, he wants to glorify God.
Well, you guys are being awfully kind to me, but I think I could have done that question a little bit. No,
I think when you put 20 and 21 together, it melds the whole thing.
Well, we're going to stop with that. We're going to quit here. We're going to be picking up again on what day in May?
Well, that would be
the fourth.
The sixth. Wait a minute.
It will not be the fourth. It will be.
It'll be the sixth. The 6th of May.
Okay, that'd be cool if it were May the 4th.
May the 4th.
I know. May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you. But it's gotta be May.
I put down 5-6. Is that right? That right?
That is right.
I have to see. I got to keep these notes. That my brain doesn't always catch it. Children, I really appreciate your being here today. It makes me feel really good that you come around and listen to God's word. God is such a wonderful person, and he's such a delight to get to know better and better and better. But by the way, did you know that studying this book does not help us to know God? Well, it helps us know God, but it's not it. What time is it?
You got time.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 8.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 8.
Well, just a minute. Maybe it's not 8.
Maybe it's not 8.
Read 9 through 10.
Okay, but still Colossians chapter 1, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened mm-hmm. with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness.
Okay, we have that he has desire that we be filled with the knowledge of his will. And then in verse 10, we have, and the knowledge of God. You can study this book all your life, and if you don't obey it, you will not know God. Mm. Notice that here we learn the knowledge of, we get the knowledge of his will. Then we respond. That's verse 10. We walk worthy, and then we grow in the knowledge of God. Mm. So it's mm-hmm. not enough. We're studying this book. But it's not enough for us to just learn the book.
Right. Well, we have to have faith and trust in it.
And we have to obey it.
That these are yeah. God's words.
And then sometimes it might be tough, and we still need to do that with joy.
And that's right? the reason there's men throughout this world who know this book and are not Christians. Mm-hmm. Because they are not obedient. And isn't that the history of Satan? Satan knows the book, quotes right. it. Mm-hmm. Temptation of Christ. He quotes the book, but he doesn't obey it. So please put this into your life and make it a part of you. Yeah, I think the
apostle. Yeah, so in short, the difference between knowing God or knowing about God and actually knowing and having a born again relationship with God Amen. Is being obedient.
Yeah. Amen. Isn't that the way the old song goes? Trust and obey. Or there's no other way. How's that go? I'm not even.
I don't know if I've heard that.
I don't know that one.
Only trust in
and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Only the young ones know that one.
I'm older than you. Over
8 years old. Duncan, would you
always for obey? Always for obey.
Obey you want to close us out in prayer, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Everyone, please bow your heads and let's get into a little bit of spiritual warfare. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for another beautiful day, for giving us all these blessings, for giving us just another day, dear Lord, to come together and to talk about you and the glory that you bring to us. Father, you promised us today, but not tomorrow, dear Lord. So if you so bless us with another day tomorrow, I ask that you let us make every second count, spreading that gospel from nation to nation, praying as much as we possibly can, dear Lord, and serving you to every bit of our ability. Father, we are very, very imperfect, but you love us just the way that we are, and you know that we will get better, dear Lord, having you in our heart. So I thank you. Thank you for all the prayers that you've answered, and thank you for all the prayers that you will answer, dear Lord. You are always there for us, and this world is abundant with your miracles. So many miracles that if we were to be able to talk to them, we wouldn't be able to talk about them within one lifetime. They'd be stacked from the earth all the way to heaven. So, dear Lord, thank you for just giving us all the proof, although we don't require it, dear Lord. But our faith builds stronger and stronger. And I ask, dear Lord, that you allow us to build our foundation a little stronger every single day, dear Lord, in our lives, and then reach out and to help that one person, dear Lord. It's not about the numbers. It's about spreading and planting those seeds as far as we can, dear Lord, knowing that you will wake them up when that time is near. Dear Lord, we don't know when the time you're coming back is, dear Lord. So there's no better time than to have you in our hearts and to have that relationship with you than right now. So dear Lord, I just ask that you just work within our lives, dear Lord, and give us the courage when we're shy to go out and talk to people, just random strangers, dear Lord, as one day they will no longer be strangers. One thing we need to remember is that we are all the children of God. No matter where we are in this world, no matter what color we are, no matter what country we are from, dear Lord, we are all your children. So let us treat everybody that way. Let's treat everybody with absolute love, dear Lord, and even continue to pray for our enemies. And Father, for those of us that have trouble praying for our enemies, I ask that you work into our hearts so that when we do pray for our enemies, it's coming from our soul, from our heart, and not just our lips. Father, We ask that you just continue to give us the discernment and the wisdom that we need during these times in order to see through all of the tyranny and the deception, which is being thrown at us every single day. Give us the courage that we need, dear Lord, to walk into this battle, and give us the patience that we need, dear Lord, with others. Never let us forget, dear Lord, where we came from, where we were at the worst part in our lives, dear Lord, so that we can have that patience with those that are in that same stance right now. Father, everyone has the ability to come around and find you into their hearts. And it's nothing that we can do, dear Lord. It's everything that you can do. But let us step up. Let us lead people to that narrow path. Let us walk them over to you, dear Lord, so that you can change their lives in the way that you've changed ours in the most miraculous and beautiful ways. Father, thank you for the family that you're building stronger and stronger, bigger and bigger every single day, dear Lord. I watch as more people wake up. And as they're waking up to the worldly things and the corruption and the deception and the tyranny, many of them are coming over and waking up the most important thing, dear Lord, and that is the importance and the brilliance of you, our Creator, who has given us everything, even though we don't deserve it. But Father, one day we're going to work, we're going to find ourselves in heaven, and we're going to be able to spend that time rejoicing and enjoying everything without the distractions that the devil tries to put into our lives every day. But in the meantime, Father, I ask that you remove the evil, the tyranny, and the temptations from our lives, dear Lord, so that we can be successful in the missions that you have put us all into. Let us never forget, dear Lord, that when you set us on a mission, you were there from the beginning until the end, and you provide us with everything that we need. But we still need to repent. We still need to thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, and we still need to confess every single day, dear Lord, because that's the only way that we can mend this armor, which is a requirement even more so today. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting us have a better understanding of Scripture, being able to have these conversations, dear Lord, and have people that can answer the questions that we just don't understand, having us the ability to be able to see a verse in a different way in the future than we do right now, dear Lord, as this word truly is living. And everything in Scripture backs up everything else in Scripture, dear Lord. It's the only perfect book. It's the only book that's been around as long as it had that still has the meaning and the significance that it does at this very moment that it did back when it was written. But Father, on those days where we have lack of faith, I ask that you send that person into our life, dear Lord, or you come into our life personally and build that faith back up. Dear Lord, when we are having struggles on this earth, I ask you, Lord, that you come into our lives and just allow us to make these struggles a little bit easier. And I know, dear Lord, that good comes from what we call tribulations and trials, dear Lord. You are providing us with the things that we pray for. Sometimes they're not in the way that we think they're going to be, but they're the way that these things need to be, dear Lord, because you know what's best for all of us. So thank you for loving us the way that you did, having the patience with us as you have, dear Lord, even to this day, knowing that we can promise you, dear Lord, that we will be better people tomorrow. And one day when we leave this earth, hopefully we'll be as Christ-like as we possibly can. But let us spend every moment trying to be as Christ-like as we can. Thank you for the people that you have brought into our lives that have a better understanding of Scripture, dear Lord, that are here to inspire us and to keep us moving down this walk that we take together. But dear Lord, thank you for bringing us together. Let us unify more and more by the days, dear Lord, and get rid of the divisions. The devil is using that against us. Let us come together, dear Lord, so we can be the greatest army you've ever had, because we know how this ends, Father, and that is you win. So let that give us the faith that we need every day to walk through the hardest of times, dear Lord, the greatest of battles, and let us all be ready to step up and do everything that you need us to. Father, we know that you don't need us to do anything, but you still ask us to, and there's no greater honor than to serve you on this earth. But dear Lord, in the meantime, let us never take our eyes off the kingdom, never take our eyes off heaven, but never stop doing what we need to right here. Let our hands never be idle so the devil has nothing to take advantage of. But dear Lord, thank you just for loving us the way that you do and giving us this opportunity to eternal life. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name and our Heavenly Father's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Brother said amen.
Amen. And thank you all for being here tonight. Just so appreciate you taking the time. I know we're all busy, and it's just such a blessing to have you all here with us. And you guys here on the call, thank you for joining us. The more of you here makes it more interesting, and well, we just get to have a lot more fun than it would be if it was just me and Jim. So thank you all. Have a beautiful and blessed day. You are truly the best family ever because, well, God knitted us together. And so go. Be blessed. We love you. See you Saturday.
Amen. Another great show, guys. It's always a blessing to be able to spend this time together with family. And just a little quick thing tomorrow, Tuesday night, Kilted Christian, the Conley. So if you guys want to talk a little scripture, a little bit of news, and have a whole lot of laughs, definitely want to show up to that show. We are both ready. And we love you with all of our hearts. Remember one thing, God wins. So fear nothing. God is going to give us everything that we need to get through these times. But guys, in the meantime, we love you with all of our hearts. God bless you. And I leave you with the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag